From the halls of every school in Michigan, this is School Talks on 760 WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy. Sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Now, take your seats. Class is in session. Here's Robert.
For the program today, School Talks is on location at the offices of Clark Construction in Auburn Hills. Clark is one of School Talks' primary sponsors, and when we come back, we're going to hear about all of the great work that Clark does throughout the state of Michigan. Stay right there. This is School Talks on 760 WJR.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
We're here now at the offices of Clark Construction in Auburn Hills, and as you may be aware, Clark Construction is one of School Talk's primary sponsors, and joining us on the program today, we have President Bobby Lalonde, Vice President for K-12 Projects, Becky Timberlake, and joining them is Dory Lako, the Superintendent of East Lansing Public Schools. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Livernoy. Happy to be here.
And as I said, I sincerely appreciate the continued support of this program. We've done a lot of good work interviewing many, many guests related to schools and whatnot, many of whom are actual clients of Clark Construction, and they regularly, as you well know, sing your praises. So let's start off. Bobby, tell us a little bit about Clark Construction and what you see as the long-term vision for the growth in the company.
Yeah, thank you very much. So, you know, looking back helps us look forward a little bit. And we, from our long-term vision, we actually used to be in about 10 states across the United States when we were doing work in the early teens. And we recognized early on that our mission is to build the best place to work. And we recognized that there was a bit of a conflict there. So we retreated back to Michigan. We redefined our sandbox, and our sandbox is Michigan. And so when you want to stay in Michigan, when you talk about long-term growth, that doesn't necessarily mean you want geographic growth. And when you're in a state that the population, as you talked about in the program before, it's stagnant, it's not growing really good, we're more concentrating on the values of the company and our culture and building the best place to work. And that really is our long-term vision. And I believe it's serving us very well.
So in the spirit of that, moving, sort of rescaling back to Michigan, how has the company adapted to industry changes?
Yeah, as you can imagine, in an automotive-based state, you know, when the automotive industry can catch a cold, a lot of other industries, you know, catch pneumonia and it gets worse. Because of that, you know, we were originally in the 50s, we're an automotive-based company, and we've worked very hard to diversify our portfolio into 7 primary markets. And so that diversification continues. And with that, we're able to maintain a steady volume and create a very normal customer experience for all of our different markets.
And with that, what do you see as the biggest challenge facing the construction industry as a whole today, and how are you here at Clark addressing it?
Yeah, so it's really been no secret that a couple really upfront things are trade shortages. There's not as many folks in the trades as there used to be, and the workforce is aging, as well as significant cost volatility, especially throughout the last 5 years, even post-pandemic. Along with that, we've got an employment workforce that is really looking for companies that have an innovative culture, an inclusive culture, as well as how are we going to develop those employees' experiences from the day they start here at Clark till the day that they hang it up and retire. And so with those three things, there are definitely three strong things that are competing for, you know, what is the title of what's the biggest challenge. And I would say right now that creating that employee experience is probably number one and what we're mainly focused on.
It speaks volumes to the competitive nature of finding people with capacity, for sure. So we're here also with Vice President for K-12 Projects, Becky Timberlake. Becky, what are some of the most exciting or challenging projects happening at Clark that you've recently completed?
Yeah, thank you. So there's so many exciting projects happening. We just recently finished a new lower elementary school for Ferndale, a new early childhood building for Livonia, and a new elementary for Grand Ledge. We also just had a beam signing and tapping out at the new community project, The Cube, for Flint Community Schools. We are in design for a new middle school at Huron Valley Schools, as well as a complete renovation. We have a massive STEAM center being built right now at Saline High School. And in East Lansing, we're fortunate enough to be doing our second bond program, where we're about to kick off a new administration building.
Talk about a diverse set of projects. And would you say most of what you've listed are new construction or renovation or a little bit of both? What would you say?
I think it's a little bit of both, yeah. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of additions, renovations, and we're fortunate enough to have built some new schools lately. It's exciting.
Yes. So we're currently here with Bobby Lalonde, president of Clark Construction, Becky Timberlake, vice president, and with us also is Dory Lako, superintendent from East Lansing Public School District. So let me follow up with Bobby. What types of projects do you see becoming sort of a bigger focus for Clark in the coming years?
Yeah, I think that, first of all, you know, we're proud to consider ourselves probably the number one education builder in the state of Michigan, and we don't see that changing at all. We see the complexity and the need for the different environments for educational facilities to continue to grow and be in high demand. But along with that, we're all sitting on top of a lot of old aging infrastructure, and we are seeing that market being a large focus for us as well moving into the future, that infrastructure projects are here to stay, and they're dramatically needed amongst all areas of infrastructure, whether it's mm-hmm. buildings, the water mains that feed our houses every day, and the storm and sewer systems that we have, they're all aging and need to be worked on.
Sure. And, you know, with all this work, it certainly seems like you need a lot of good, qualified employees. And in the spirit of that, what qualities do you look for when hiring new team members to join here at Clark?
That's a great question. I guess I'd flip that around and say, what do we not look for? And that is, there's a term we use at Clark that's called the competent jerk. And, you know, our industry, which is full of a lot of testosterone over the years, can be people can overvalue when folks want to raise their voice and use brute force to get things done. And that's really the construction industry of 20, 30 years ago. And we really try to actively avoid hiring people that what we would title competent jerks. We're looking for people that are great leaders, that are innovative leaders, and are inclusive leaders. And that's a little bit of a change in our industry.
And, you know, when you bring someone on board like that, how do you support their professional development and sort of career growth so they maintain the kind of attitude that you're looking for?
Yeah, so every person in our company has a career focus plan, and that's basically saying, what do they want to do when they grow up, whether it's day one or it's, you know, halfway through their career. We want to know what that goal is so that we can actively create a plan that allows them to work towards those goals. In addition to that, we've put a lot of work and energy into creating the Clark Way of Leadership, and so we do that training, and then once that training's done, we basically have a Clark Way of Leadership assessment. And so our leaders are not, I'm not really judged on, to use an office space term, to get their TPS reports done or do things like that. We're looking for how they lead their teams and how their leadership qualities are continuing to grow. And that's a little bit different when you ask your leaders to be judged on how they are leaders, not just what is their day-to-day job and how they're doing that.
And, you know, this question for you, Dory Lako, from East Lansing Public Schools, when you talk about, as Bobby talks about the quality of employees, and I've known this from my personal experience with the company, their focus on maintaining strong relationships really has been, for me, one of the hallmarks of the company. Can you share what type of support you've received from Clark in the kinds of work happening in your district?
Yeah, absolutely. I started working with Clark in 2016 on the first bond proposal we were putting forth to our community. And I knew basically nothing about the construction bond proposal process or any of that. So Clark came in, really met us where we were. And I think what they've done over the years is really built a culture of trust and relational trust within each other, but also with their clients like us, that really resonates with East Lansing Public Schools, because I think we share a lot of the same values and what we look for in teachers and leaders. And so they came alongside us and really educated me and my my team along the way and provided a lot of support in a community that at the time was very divided on support for that 2017 bond proposal, and helped us educate our community of the benefits mm-hmm. of it.
You know, your response really strikes a question for you, Bobby, in the idea that how does Clark foster diversity and inclusion within the organization that ends up playing itself out with clients in a way that helps them achieve what they want. How do you go about that?
Yeah, so having been at the company almost 20 years now, from when I started here, Clark was definitely a progressive company in the space that we wanted to make sure that everybody felt included at the company. And so this has been going on in our company for decades. And so since we've been committed to that for such a long time, our commitment to inclusion has been very mature. So as things have changed in the social landscape, we've never done anything as far as it being a fad. And so with that, it's been a very mature portion of the company that everybody needs to be included. Everyone wants to have a voice at the table. And we're constantly looking at how can we draw all people in the company and get their information and input to everything we're doing every day, all the way from Sidra's contribution to the company to Becky's, to making sure we've got a really broad spectrum of people that are contributing.
That's fantastic. So Bobby Lalonde, Becky Timberlake, and Dory Lako, I appreciate your time on School Talks today, and keep up the good work, and keep doing the right thing for schools. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up after the break, we'll continue our conversation with the great staff here at Clark Construction and dive into the world of pre-bond work before any of the work begins. Stay right there. We'll be back right after this.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy, sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Once again at the head of the class, Dr. Livernoy.
We're back here at the offices of Clark Construction out in Auburn Hills. Clark, one of School Talk's primary sponsors. Joining us in this segment is Vice President Becky Timberlake, Senior Project Manager and Market Leader Dave Warner, Senior Marketing Manager and Bond Campaign Manager Jen Hubel, and staying with us is Superintendent of East Lansing Public Schools, Dory Lako. Welcome to the program, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Vice President Timberlake, how does Clark Construction assist clients like Dory in assessing what facility needs there are and what kinds of work that needs to be done to sort of prepare a successful bond proposal that eventually goes to the community for a vote?
Yeah, thanks. That's a great question. So we consider ourselves a full service partner with the districts and the architects, working as a team every step of the way. We'll start off by working with the architect to walk the buildings and figure out what the facility needs are. We'll compile lists with the architect, working hand in glove, and then we'll start putting budget numbers to every single item on that list. As we all know, there's always much more needs in every facility than there are means to pay for those. So we work with the community and the districts throughout the next several months, paring down that list to get it to be what the community is going to support, what the district's most important needs are, and what we can go out for a bond to fund fully.
Talk about a lot of pre-production work to make the right decision to not only maintain the district going forward, but be good stewards of the taxpayers' money. So, Jen Hubel, can you share some examples of successful bond campaigns that Clark Construction has supported? And what would you consider are the key factors in the success of those campaigns?
Yes, we've had many successful bond campaigns, obviously, over the years. To come to mind, top of mind, really, are Saline Area Schools and, of course, East Lansing Public Schools. I think what really makes those successful is we partner with those superintendents to come up with the best campaign strategy and to really understand how their community works, how they want to be communicated with, what is the key factors that's going to get this bond campaign passed, obviously, is very critical. But also, I can't take all the credit because we are working with superintendents who are great communicators. They're very transparent. They're very clear with their community. And that is a very key ingredient. We are just a partner along for the ride to help them, provide them the campaign strategy, and give them all the tools that they need to communicate effectively with their community.
So in the spirit of that, what would you consider are some of the most common strategies that help bonds pass as it relates to communicating with the community?
Obviously, community engagement very early and upfront is absolutely key. We want to make sure that the community is aware of everything that is included in the bond program and to be able to communicate, you know, what they really want with the program as well, right out front from the beginning. That is absolutely critical. And then, obviously, we work hand in hand with these superintendents to create community presentations so they can effectively communicate what is this going to look like? How is this going to affect my child? How may this impact my finances, my tax impact? Mm-hmm. These are all very key. And if we are transparent up front, it just makes the process so much easier to get these passed.
That's really good insight in terms of anticipating what the factors in the community are. So Dave Warner, what are some of the most common challenges school districts and organizations face in getting a bond passed? And how does Clark help them navigate those issues and challenges?
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Levernoy. I think some of the biggest challenges we face in passing bonds is keeping the wants versus what the needs are. And I say long-term success for the district, because at the same time, I have to set them up for 20 years worth of bond planning, right? So I can't build a new gym and then leave behind all the pieces that make the building work. So it's weaving both of those pieces in and coming up with a real understanding of what they need versus what the wants are.
And, you know, the way you frame that just amplifies what Jen said about communicating right out of the gate with the community so they understand the reality of, yeah, we have a beautiful new gymnasium, but we don't have any money to put the air conditioning in, right? And that whole balance is really critical. And in my experience with Clark, you as a company have done exceptional work in keeping superintendents out of trouble by focusing on that balance, because, you know, to your average community member, they hear a number like $150 million bond, and they think that's a lot of money. And depending on the size of the district, it probably isn't when you're doing the kinds of work that you do. So that's a really good point. In the spirit of the whole sort of prioritizing projects, Dory, what has your experience been with Clark in terms of helping you in East Lansing prioritize projects when, like Dave said, there's so much to do and we need to try to balance the wants versus the needs?
Yeah, I think what Clark has helped East Lansing Public Schools do is really ensure that what we are asking our community for aligns with the goals and values of our district, and also so that we can show our voters how this work will impact their students.
Mm-hmm. So we're currently here at the offices of Clark Construction, joined by Becky Timberlake, Dave Warner, and Jen Hubel. And along with them is East Lansing Public School District Superintendent Dory Lako, talking about all of the excellent services that Clark provides in helping a school district pass a bond. And as we've sort of discussed here, much of the work is in the pre-bond phase as much as it is doing the work after the fact. So, Dory, let me ask you as a follow-up, could you give us an example of a type of strategy that Clark has helped you with in terms of connecting with your community?
Absolutely. In addition to helping us with some presentations, it's also been really valuable to have them alongside us at community forums. Getting in front of our community and our voters, no matter where they are, I mean, we bring them to us, but sometimes we have to go to them. We have some retirement facilities within our community who those folks may have barriers to transportation. So we went to them and really identifying all the different pockets of voters, and then having Clark alongside us. You know, I was a brand new acting superintendent for this first, for our first bond proposal, and having the experience and knowledge standing right there with me at those forums was really valuable.
It's like having the best bullpen in the world I've had Absolutely. That experience myself in making sure that you're answering the right questions for the community. Dave, you mentioned a 20-year bond. Is that a pretty typical amount of time that a bond is paid back? In your experience?
Anywhere from 15 to 30. The trend has been more towards 20, just for the, you know, saving some interest and being more responsible for the taxpayers' money. We see anywhere from 15 to 25, anywhere in between.
And, you know, for our School Talks listeners, we sort of take for granted the concept of a bond, but what it really is the community approves for the school districts to go out and sell bonds to raise the money to do the work in the schools, and then over that time period, as you mentioned, they pay that money back. Jen Hubel, Dave Warner, Becky Timberlake, and Dory Lako, I appreciate your time on the program and talking through this pre-bond support and the excellent work that Clark Construction does for you. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
After a word from our sponsors, we'll continue our field trip out here at the offices of Clark Construction. Stay right there. We'll be back right after this.
School Talks on WJR. With Dr. Robert Livernoy.
We're back here at the offices of Clark Construction, one of School Talk's primary sponsors out here in wonderful Auburn Hills. We're currently joined with Senior Vice President Janice Suchin, and joining her is an intern here at Clark, Sidra Risk. Welcome to the program, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Janice, one of the things I learned about Clark that I thought was rather intriguing and actually quite impressive is your ACE mentorship program. And could you tell us a little bit about how that works here at the company?
Yes, yeah, so ACE is actually a national program. It's the ACE mentoring program. ACE stands for Architectural, Construction, and Engineering. And it's a national program that's been established for decades, and I sit on the board of the Southeast Michigan chapter, and Clark Construction participates with all three chapters in the state of Michigan, basically bringing awareness to all three of those fields in Michigan to address the labor shortages, increase the diversity of folks in the AEC industry. And it's really a reflection of our values to encourage our employees here to mentor and give back to our community.
And that seems like that's one of the main reasons you chose to participate, is it's consistent with the values. That makes perfect sense. So what role does Clark play in actually mentoring students through the program here at the offices?
So we have currently five mentors. We have a variety of mentors that serve every year, and those mentors work with teams of high school students for a 16-week period, and they give their time two nights per week for 16 weeks to work with student teams to develop a project from start to finish. And it's amazing the work that the students, such as Sidra, come up with every year, and the mentors are there for support, for a resource. They teach, they provide life guidance, and they help the students develop a professional network pretty early in their careers mm-hmm. as well.
So you mentioned Sidra. She's now an alumni of the program, correct?
Absolutely.
And as a result of that, is now an intern here at Clark. Tell us a little bit about your experience in the mentor program and how you think it helped you get to where you are today.
All right. So I registered for the ACE Mentor Program in my 12th grade year, and I was just kind of interested in the industry, wanted to know what it was like, and once I signed up, it was an immediate go. They went into almost every discipline. It was a lot of work that we had to do in such a short amount of time. But basically, we were assigned a mock project in order to renovate an old historical home. So they went through all of the city codes that we had to go through, all of the different disciplines and the different ideas or topics that are introduced in an actual construction project. So it felt like a very real project that I was a part of. And so my role in that project was the estimating portion. I knew, even before knowing anything about the industry, I knew that cost was a huge factor of a construction project. I didn't know how much effort or time it would take to actually come up with an estimate for a project. So ACE gave me such an amazing introduction into it, and because of that, And because of my final project and presentation, I was actually able to connect with Janice. She found me and told me that Clark had an estimating department. Their pre-construction department covered that, and it was from there that I was able to make that connection and start at Clark now.
So when you're in this estimating process, you're, as sort of funny as it sounds, you're trying to determine in a building that's going to be renovated how much everything's going to cost, basically. And that seems such a critical piece to the end result of a project when you have to try to determine what something's going to cost, and given you have a limited amount of money. So that's a great success story. Janice, let me ask you, have you seen an increase in students from underrepresented backgrounds pursuing careers in construction due to this program?
Absolutely. Obviously, this work takes time to see a big impact to the industry as a whole, but nationally, we're absolutely seeing it, as well as locally. One of the big things that we work on as an ACE board is fundraising. And so last year, we were able to allocate $38,000 in scholarships for high school students to continue their education. We also worked with the local universities to match that scholarship amount, so they're able to keep moving on. ACE also focuses nationally, as we do locally, on marginalized communities. And so we go into districts that may not have STEM programs, might not have programs that focus on architecture, construction, or engineering for that matter. And we can bring awareness to those schools and to those students. I'm proud to say that this year we have nearly 80 students in the program, and statistically 53% of those students are women and 60% are people of color. So we're really proud of those stats.
That's incredible. We're currently with Janice Suchin, Senior Vice President here at Clark Construction, and intern Asidra Risk, talking about the ACE mentorship program that certainly is alive and well here at the company. So Janice, let me ask, what is Clark's future goals or continued commitment and involvement with the ACE program?
Well, I should say that Clark is only one company that is involved in ACE, so we have probably a dozen companies that are involved at the board level and 30 to 40 companies that provide mentorship. So this really is beyond Clark Construction, an AEC industry in Southeast Michigan effort. Our goals at Clark is to continue to provide representation on the board, continue to encourage our employees to provide their time and give back to their communities by mentoring. That's a really big piece of it. And then to continue to support any fundraising efforts. We're a financial sponsor, and those scholarships are really important to us here at the company.
You know, given how you qualified the types of people taking advantage of this program, I understand you have something here at Clark known as Women at Work. Yes. Can you share with us a little bit what that is and how it operates here at the company?
Absolutely. So we started our Women at Work program, I believe, 4 years ago, and it's an employee resource group. So basically, it's an employee-led group of women here at the company that get together on a regular basis. Sidra is actually one of our awesome young women who organize a lot of the events that we do. And in essence, it's a support group. It's a resource group. We might meet together to discuss a book that we've read recently. We might bring in a guest speaker or a panel of speakers to talk about some of the unique issues that women face when working within the construction industry. Traditionally, a white male-dominated construction industry, the challenges that women face are unique, and so we can help each other, support each other, and mentor each other. And I can tell you I learn as much from women like Sidra as she probably does from myself.
You know, what's interesting about this concept of supporting women at work is, and the way you characterize the industry having once been dominated by males, is the education sector. The greater majority of teachers are women. And when you think about being able to send women into the field to work with educators on really critical things like how to renovate a classroom or what types of technology integration is necessary, it seems like a perfect fit of being able to understand what the needs are of the clients. And it's fantastic. Do you know offhand how many women are participating in the Women at Work program here at Clark?
Well over 50.
And just at Clark?
Yep, just at Clark. Absolutely.
Janice Suchin and Sidra Risk, I appreciate your time on the program today. Keep up the good work here at Clark. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
After a word from our sponsors, we'll continue our field trip out here at the offices of Clark Construction. Stay right there. We'll be back right after this.
School Talks on WJR is sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Now let's get back to class. Once again, your host, former Superintendent Dr. Robert Livernoy.
We're back here in the offices of Clark Construction, one of School Talk's primary sponsors out here in wonderful Auburn Hills. And we're back here with President Bobby Lalonde talking about the intern program here at the company, which, as we learned in the last segment talking with Sidra Risk, really seems to be a hallmark of giving young adults an opportunity to grow in this field. So, Bobby, tell us a little bit about the intern program here at Clark.
Yeah, it's probably worth taking a step back in time. When I go back 15, 20 years ago, our internship program, while at the time was still robust compared to, I guess, the industry, we would have 4, 5, 6 interns. And, you know, they would generally be a junior in college or preferably a senior, because once they got done, then they would just start working. And, you know, fast forward to today, and now we have roughly 32 to 35 interns a summer. And rather than it be upperclassmen, we're generally, last year we even had 2 folks come right out of high school. And with that, we're starting people very young in the internship program, and they're doing 2, 3, and 4 internships with us. And because of that, we have really changed our entire company when it comes to really having a strong commitment to our youth workforce. And as I think a lot of people in the industry know, we've got a labor shortage problem. And I keep telling everybody, if I could just hit the fast forward button 5 years, we're going to have it fixed. We've really invested heavily in the internship program. And through that, the amount of talent and hardworking young talent that are, folks that are in that group are really going to fix our industry program here sooner than later.
So you mentioned over 30 different interns. Is it fair to say that all of them or most of them are somehow out in the field or doing some type of direct work like Sidra had been doing in estimating?
Great question. It used to be that we would only have operations interns, and we've really moved that around to have them be in pre-construction services and marketing and HR and also in IT. So pretty much every department has an internship program, and that's really been fantastic because, frankly, talking earlier, when it comes to getting inclusive ideas and getting other ideas, some of our great ideas are coming from our young folks that are coming the youth workforce in all different departments. So we've really had a lot of idea generation there.
You know, one thing I've learned in talking with you folks today is your investment in people is extraordinary. And in a similar path, I understand you also have a superintendent apprenticeship program here. Not a school superintendent like I once was, but certainly an apprenticeship program for superintendents who are obviously out in the field supervising projects. So tell us a little bit about the superintendent apprenticeship program here.
Yeah, so when you rewind back once again 15, 20 years ago when it came to superintendents, a lot of superintendents came up through the trades. They were a labor foreman or carpenter foreman, and they generally worked their way into being a project superintendent or what we would call field supervision. And as everyone knows, the field trade shortages are getting worse, and so therefore the pipeline for a lot of those folks has changed as well. So we had the idea internally a while back that we were going to say, you know what, we're having such success with our internship program. We're having an incredible amount of success with the work ethic with the young people that are coming into this. And we're also being surprised at how many of them want to spend time in the field in lieu of in the trailer doing more paperwork, that we were going to develop an accelerated program. And what we've done is we've got 2 tracks. The first track is for folks coming out of a 4-year degree, as they traditionally would come into Clark, and we have an abbreviated period that they spend doing some project engineering activities, and then we move them directly into the field. The other one is for folks who don't have a traditional 4-year degree. We're looking for folks out of college who are in the trades or in alternative industries. And we've developed a pretty robust field engineering, field training program that has both in-classroom components to it, as well as field stints. They spend time in the field. They're required to spend time with different trades and foremen and have dialogue with them and document that. And as I like to say, you can watch structural steel. Anyone who's driven by a job site sees structural steel going up there, and you can watch it all day and be mesmerized by it and learn absolutely nothing. So what we do require is we have folks really partner with the trades who are doing all the trade-specific work so that they are gaining great intimate knowledge of each specific trade. And so this program has right around 12 people working on it on the committee. It's been going on for 2 years, and it really got much more formalized last year. And we're already seeing benefits from two early graduates from it. We're going to be putting about 4 to 6 people through it a year. And again, like I said earlier, if we can hit the fast forward button about 5 years, we're going to have this labor shortage problem licked. But until then, we have to be very innovative.
We're here with Bobby Lalonde, president of Clark Construction, talking about the superintendent apprenticeship program and all of the investment that they put into growing qualified superintendents. Let me ask a follow-up question. If you had to identify just one skill or competency that you think this program gives to a budding superintendent, what do you think it would be?
I think that what we try to train people on is we're giving them the tools to see the tricks of the trade and have some nuances that will help them along the way. But what we're really trying to instill in them is a culture of you cannot lose. When it comes to opening a school on time, not opening a school on time is not an option. And therefore, we have to really instill that value into folks that one way or another, we have to ring the bell on every possible challenge that we've got, because not opening on time is not an option. And so just, I don't want to say win at all costs, but we have to open at all costs when it comes to making sure we meet our deadlines and quality expectations. So really taking a couple of years to really instill in folks that there is no compromise when it comes to quality, schedule, and safety on a project.
And as a general rule, do you have any particular qualifications or experiences you look for in candidates to be accepted into this program? What are some of those?
Yeah. Number one, they have to enjoy being in the field. They have to enjoy working with trades, and they have to enjoy truly pretty much have a passion for building and seeing things come together and organize folks and really being a team leader. That really is the number one thing.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of your expectations for the first group coming through the program?
Yeah, so what we're trying to see is can we indeed shorten the learning curve that currently in an informal way probably takes 4 to 6 years for someone to be somewhat competent in the field. And we like to accelerate that down to about 2. And what we're finding is the folks who are really competent in these areas and really want to be successful, we're seeing some very early success stories, and we see that being very attainable.
And, you know, in the spirit of that, is this program open to internal employees only, or do you accept those from outside the company?
100% both. We want to make sure that we've got opportunities for folks internally, but also folks that are external and maybe a carpenter foreman or a labor foreman or in a related industry, and they have those same skill sets we're looking for. We're advertising that. We've branded it, and we want them to recognize they can come here and be supported. That's probably the biggest thing, is just we don't want folks coming here and trying this program and just give it a whirl. It's more so if it's very structured, it's academically set up, it's field supervision set up. It has a lot of bumpers around it to make sure that people are staying and being supported.
You know, spending the day here doing this broadcast with you and seeing all the different components to the quality work that you do, hearing from your clients on the relationships and support you provide them, and sort of anchoring that is the support that you give in growing interns and superintendents as apprentices and so on. It really makes me appreciate, for our School Talks listeners, the next time you're out and about in town and you see the Clark banner hanging somewhere, just know that what's behind that banner is everything you've heard today on the program, and it truly is a remarkable company, and I'm proud to have you as a sponsor of School Talks, and I appreciate your time today, and most importantly, your leadership of a great company. So thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Dr. Livernoy.
A special thanks to President Bobby Lalonde and Vice President Becky Timberlake and the entire staff here at Clark Construction for making this School Talks field trip a great one. That's all the time we have for today, but remember, there are 2 ways to spell 1 and 3 ways to spell 2. Till next time, this has been School Talks on 760 WJR.